If you brought your Bibles, Colossians chapter 2 is our text today. Colossians chapter 2. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to develop the character of God in our lives. Now, I want you to just let that sink in and baptize over you a little bit. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to develop the character of God in our lives. Colossians chapter 2, beginning with the first verse to the eighth verse. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knitted together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance and understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. Verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in the body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. You know, the Apostle Paul uses vivid illustrations to drive home the point that he is trying to make. In the Christian life, we are either standing still or we are moving forward or we're gradually slipping back. Now, I know a lot of people say either you're going forward or you're going backwards. You're not usually standing still. Sometimes there are moments in our journey that we are just kind of pausing for a second. It's just a quick pause. It's not more than just a few moments, and I don't know how long that moment is, but either we're moving forward in our Christian life or we're moving backward in our journey with Christ. That means that we are backslidden and we're going away from the things of God or the direction that he has for us. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 declares for the Christ follower to let us press on to maturity. You see, it's God's plan and purpose for our lives that we mature in our fellowship with him. Not just to be saved by his grace and have our fire insurance, so to speak, should we die, and when we die, that we'll spend eternity in heaven with him, that we move forward in our journey. He wants us to mature. Now, young Hunter is a month or so old now, maybe a little over a month now, isn't he, Ben? And Ben and I were just discussing that he's about 6'1" right now already, and he could probably play on our Olympic basketball team. And see, this young man has not just paused in his growth, has he, physically? Young Hunter, when we see him face to face, we will see those beautiful little bitty pictures that we saw on Facebook. And then once we see him in a few weeks when she brings him, we're going to see this young man has grown about 3 or 4 inches. You see, he's growing physically. Well, as we are growing physically, we must be growing spiritually. Either we're growing spiritually or we're not growing spiritually. And so the Christian who is not making spiritual progress is a complete open target for the enemy to send his fiery darts into our lives. If we are not growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ, if we're not indwelled in the Word of God and immersed in the Word of God and growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ, we are open targets every time. Every time that I have taken pause in my journey, or even when I've stepped back in my journey, every time that's when I notice that the fiery darts are more laser focused in his me. So the Apostle Paul loved to use these illustrations throughout his writings, 2/3 of the New Testament we study today. The Apostle Paul used these type of illustrations to drive home a point. He used a natural process. He uses these illustrations, and especially in verses 5-7, he talks about the army or the order of steadfast and military terms. He used that. He often used agricultural terms, that wherever you sow, you may reap. You know, sowing and reaping is an agricultural term where we plant the seed in good soil and someone comes and waters it and someone comes and fertilizes it and then someone comes at the appropriate time and harvests that good seed that has been planted. He used agricultural terms. He also used architectural terms too. We are the temple, he says in the scriptures, of the living God. And some of us are mega temples because of our size, right? And some of us are small country churches, so to speak. And so we are all the temple of the living God. So he used that. But if you'll notice, look with me in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Notice what he says. To walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, an increase in the knowledge of God. So we are a pilgrim. We are to be walking in the Spirit of the living God. We must walk in Christ the same way we originally accepted Christ, and that is by faith, taking one step in front of the other. Folks, there's not a book. I know there's a lot of disciple-type materials out there for us to use, but there is not a book greater than to helping us walk by faith than the Word of God. That's why I said in our message, Truth Today, the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to develop the character of God in our lives. You see, not only did he use these vivid illustrations, when you look at this particular passage in Colossians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, especially for I am absent in the body, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith. And he goes on down to say, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. It is the same connotation in Psalms chapter 1 where we're talking about being a tree planted by the rivers of living water. You see, our roots grow deep when we get deep into the Word of God. Shallow Christians are those people who do not put an emphasis on knowing the Word of God. And folks, if we're going to stand up in Fairburn, Georgia and say, thus saith the Lord, then we must know what the Lord doth saith. Amen? We need to know what the Lord says. And that means we need to study the Word of God. We need to hide it into our hearts. The tree rooted is an agricultural term. The Greek tense of that word means once and for all having been rooted. We are not to be transplants. Have you ever noticed those people, we call them church hoppers in church work? They'll go to church at this place and they'll get involved and they're there and they're excited and boy, they're on the front line and then something goes wrong and what do? They run down to the next church down the way. They go from church to church to church. Have you ever noticed those deep-rooted Christ followers? They're not blown by every little whim that's out there. They're not impressed by every little nuance that comes in church work. They are firmly planted by rivers of living water. Their roots go deep. Once and for all rooted in the faith, there is no need for changing in the soil. Shallow Christians change from wind to wind. Strong rooted Christians have the strength and the stability to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. I'm finding it interesting, this new generation, we call them the millennials. The millennials are deeply, deeply desiring to know more of the Word of God. They are unimpressed with lights, glitz, and glitter. They don't need smoke machines. They're not impressed by the show of worship gatherings. What they are wanting to know, and check my facts on this, folks, they want to know what the Word says so that they can live by what the Word says. They are excited about growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you about the millennials. They'll write you off in a heartbeat if they feel like you are not authentic. They want authentic biblical musical worship and authentic biblical preaching and teaching from the Word of God. They are not impressed any longer. Fact of the matter is, I'm raising one. I'm not much raising him now. He's kind of on his own, but ever so often I feel like I'm raising him when he has his hand out. They still come back. I don't know why. When do they get off the payroll? I don't know. Everybody I ask that question to, they all shake their head and say, never. And so, you know, I keep asking him this thing. I say, well, son, tell me, how are you growing in the grace? What's happening in your generation? He said, Dad, let's be authentic. That's what we want. Good expositional biblical preaching is what they are desiring. And that's what we should all desire. As he's going on to say, rooted and built up. The building built up is an architectural term. It is a present tense of being built up. The word to edify, found in Paul's letters, often carries the same meaning as building up. And the word school or instructed, it's the word of God that builds us up, that strengthens us. And we see this overflowing phrase in that verse as well, or you see abounding, the same word. It is, as the connotation suggests, the picture of the river of living water as a continuous moving particle, moving process in our lives. So Paul offers up these to us, offers up to us how we are to develop the character of Christ. I think there are three things for us to consider today. Three things as we unpack today. There are three things that we must consider. First of all, the old character must be buried. Now, I want you to let that sink in, because I think sometimes we kept resurrecting the old character in our lives, don't we? We go back and think about where we came from or what we were, and sometimes we dwell on what was once our life, when we should bury the old character. John chapter 12, I want you to notice with me what the apostle writes in John chapter 12. Notice with me in verse 24 through 26. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dries, it remains alone. But if it dries, it bears fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternity. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Folks, let me tell you something. We need to forget the old life. We need to bury it once and for all. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, therefore put to death whatever in you is worldly. I want you to remember this phrase. You might want to jot it down in the margins of your outline. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am serving him by serving you. Now, I want you to think about that with me. As a disciple of the living God, we are serving Christ by serving this community. When we say, I'm going to serve, we're saying, I am a disciple of Christ. That is exactly what he came to do. I am a disciple of the Jesus Christ, my Savior and my Lord. He died on the cross for my sins. And when I received him into my life, I became his disciple. I said, I will take up my cross and I will follow you every step of the way. And so when I said, I am a disciple of the living God, I am to serve the community that is in front of me. I am serving Christ Jesus by serving you, because that's what he came to do. If we're going to be like Christ, then we've got to start acting and serving like Christ did. So the old character must be buried. Think with me just for a second. Think with me when you, and some of us got to peel back the archives of our memory bank, but think with me when you came to the realization that you were destined, lost without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now that you've got that thought in your mind, April 1971 was my time. I can't tell you the exact date. I couldn't tell you the clothes that I had on. I do know that it was Youth Sunday that day, and it was a big event at First Baptist Trustful, and it was massive crowd in that day. And man, we had a great, great speaker for that particular day. And I'd grown up in church my entire life, and I'd been around the things of God and heard all the Sunday school stories, and the pastor preached throughout the Bible, and the music was glorious at that church. It was an amazing congregation. But on that particular day, Pastor Ben, I came to the understanding, if I die that day, I would spend eternity separated from the love of God. God woke me up that day, 15 rows back on First Baptist Trustful, in center section of that old church building. I came to that understanding that I was lost without Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord. Now think with me. You remember that moment. Dust off the cobwebs and remind yourself of that moment when you came to faith in Christ. The old character, when you prayed and invited him into your life, it was nothing more than words, nothing magical about those words, other than they were just words until you believed it in your heart, and then it became a prayer, and then it became a reality. When you prayed something simple like, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that you are the Savior of the universe. I know that you died on the cross for my sins, and I confess my sins to you right now, Lord Jesus. And as I confess my sins to you, I invite you to live in my life. I surrender my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen." And right then it happened. Right then it happened. The old self was buried. The old character was buried. Then there's that guy named Satan. He's alive and well, and he loves nothing more. He knows. He's smart. He knows. He's crafty. He says, "Well, okay, you're saved, but you don't have to live for him. You don't have to serve him. You've got your fire insurance. Okay, you're going to spend eternity in heaven. I'm going to kind of get you off track." Folks, let me tell you something. He helps us raise up that flag. He helps us raise up the old character in our lives. He reminds us of what we once were. Folks, let me tell you something. The old character must be buried. Number two, the new character must be birthed. The new character must be birthed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope." A living hope. Please don't ask me to take pictures of you and your events. I'm a horrible photographer. I just really am. And we were trying and praying, and God blessed us after 10 years. God blessed us with our son. And when we found that, we were praying, I was so excited. And so my dad, who's a neat guy, just one of the best guys I've ever known in my life, he gave us one of those video cameras. Now, I mean, they're like this big. They're little bitty things. These GoPro things are like this big. Back then, the camera, I mean, it looked like CNN camera, you know? Had this microphone that stuck out, this lens, you had this thing you had to look in. I mean, set up on your shoulder and you walk. And it had it had the VHS tape in it. And it'd stretch, you know, and it'd kind of get caught up in it. And so, you know, we got this thing and I was working on, you know, I'm going to video the birth. This is going to be amazing. We're going to have this birth thing, and it's going to be exciting, and we're going to have this. This is going to be something we're going to keep for all time. We're going to show it at his rehearsal dinner when he gets married. You know, we're going to archive this. This is going to be awesome, and we're going to embarrass him in front of his fiance. It's going to be fun, and I'm so fired up, and I got this huge camera bin, and I'm walking around, and I got the scrubs on and the hat and the mask, and I'm in there, you know, like I really know what I'm doing, and I'm walking around, and I got this thing with extension cord, you know, I didn't want the battery to run out, this huge cord behind it, and I'm walking around, I'm filming everything, and all of a sudden, she goes into this massive labor attempt, and I drop the camera down as it's running. And the whole thing is the feet of the doctor. The doctors and the nurses, that's all I have. Boy, I'm a really good photographer, aren't I? We don't even know if Seth was actually born, to be quite honest with you. We don't have any video footage of it whatsoever. But folks, let me tell you something. As I know for certain my son was born, I know for certain that I was born again. The new character must be birthed. And that leads us to the most important principle for our consideration today. Not the old character must be buried. The new character must be birthed. But thirdly and finally, the Christ-like character must be built. Dr. Robert Coleman wrote a great book called The Cost of Discipleship. He makes one statement in there, it's just rung in my ears for 30 plus years. Disciples are made. They're not born. Disciples are made. If you lead someone to faith in Christ, you have a responsibility to walk in journey with them. Even if you didn't lead them to faith in Christ, we as Christ's followers, when we have new believers in Christ that come into the fellowship of this church, we have a responsibility to help them grow, to help them become built to be like Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 in the New International Version translation. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thanksgiving. It is our responsibility that we help those who come to faith in Christ be built in the Christ-like character. That is why it's such an important emphasis on small group ministry. In most Baptist churches, we call that Sunday school. We have life groups that are, they are specific time framed for specific studies, but the ongoing growth process is not in the worship center of our churches. The ongoing growth process is a time alone every day in the Word of God, and then to be encouraged and equipped in a small group setting where we can dive deeper into the Word of God. Every great church around this country, they have back doors that are locked. You say, wow, why would they lock their back doors? They lock it because it's called Sunday school. Folks, if you're not involved in a small group ministry in this church, you are missing a grand opportunity to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Mr. John and I are talking about some new opportunities for small group ministry, new opportunities for discipleship programming that will be more relevant and more relationship. And folks, we've got already an off-campus small group meeting on Thursday night that's having staggering numbers and amazing success. And folks, I'm excited about some of this stuff. If you're not involved in that, you are missing a huge opportunity to grow in the character of Christ. The Christ-like character must be built. Brothers and sisters, spiritual growth is not automatic. Salvation is instantaneously, but growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ is a long-term process. And it never completes until he calls you home. It takes an intentional commitment. If you want to be a disciple, you got to decide to grow. If you want to make, you got to make an effort to grow. You got to be persistent in your growing. Discipleship is a process of becoming like Christ, and it always begins with a decision. And the decision, as Matthew wrote, when Jesus says, "Come and be my disciples," Matthew got up and began to follow Jesus. Some of you accepted him, but you sat back down. And some of us in this room need to stand up and say, until he calls me home, I want to be built in the character of Christ Jesus, my Savior. Again, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I'm serving him by serving him, because that's what he came to do. The old character must be buried. The new character must be birthed. The Christ-like character must be built.